This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Morena, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shebnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Gina Gonzalez. I'd like to welcome our guest, Ehtisham Ahmed. Kia ora, salam.
Kia ora.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. Now tell us, when you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Initially, as a kid, we all think different, you know, we all have a different aims to be. My one was to be a cricketer. Still, the thing is there in my heart.
Oh, wow.
To be a cricketer. And for that, I'm still, you know, playing somehow socially. But the thing that still in me is social work. I wanted to help people. I wanted to have an organization where I can help different communities. And still I'm working in the same field.
Oh, that's really good. Well, we definitely are going to delve into that a bit deeper very shortly. But before that, I'd like to know where you are originally from and what brought you here to Aotearoa.
I'm originally from Pakistan. And when I was 16 years old in 2017, I traveled to Sri Lanka. The reason was religious persecution back in my country because we belong to a specific sect that we declared in our country as a non-Muslim. So we were not allowed to have our own, prayers and have to go to mosque and attend our own community events.
Is that right?
To organize events. So for religious freedom, we traveled to Sri Lanka and seek asylum there. I spent 6.5 years in Sri Lanka as a refugee, and in 2019 I got resettlement interview with New Zealand.
Yeah.
At that time I didn't know anything about New Zealand except a New Zealand cricket team.
Yeah.
Black Caps. So the interviewer showed me the New Zealand map and few things about New Zealand. And I fell in love with the land.
Oh.
Long white clouds.
It is a beautiful country, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
So can you tell us about your employment journey in New Zealand? Where did your employment journey start in Aotearoa?
As I told you that I've been 6.5 years in Sri Lanka, and also I was 16 when I left my own country. So it was a bit of struggle in Sri Lanka for me. I didn't have a proper education in any field. I didn't have any career goal to make back in Sri Lanka. So when I arrived to New Zealand, I started working with the case officer back in Mangere, where I tried to help them voluntarily to connect with different communities and explain them about the culture. And then New Zealand immigration sent us to Nelson in South Island. So, and when I went there, I started voluntarily working with my community to get them support around in the city. And New Zealand Red Cross recognized that, and they called me to prep for, you know, Pathways to Employment, the organization who helps us to find job. I had an interview with them to, you know, make a career goal with them. And at that time, luckily, they had an opportunity to, in their own organization as a community champion role.
Yeah.
So they offered me that. I accepted it. And then onwards, I never stopped.
Oh, wow. Did you have any qualifications or experience in this sector? Why do you think they offered you this job regardless?
On the basis of my experience and my enthusiasm,
yeah.
The way I, you know, I'd be dedicated to work with communities. They recognized that because Nelson is a very small city, and they saw me around working with different communities, helping them navigate them to get more support from government.
Yeah.
So they recognized that. And in an interview as well, I explained them about my past experience in Sri Lanka. I've been working with NGOs to help the communities.
Yeah.
So they decided to give me a chance. It was a part-time role. And they decided to give me a role, so they, you know, identify the skills in me. And when they saw me learning, improving my English, my skills, my the courses I have done with them, short courses as well, through Red Cross, they saw that, and they helped me out for my some career development as well. And I still acknowledge that.
Oh, that's wonderful. What did you do exactly with the Red Cross? Like, what was your job description there?
So with Red Cross, my job description was to meeting all the communities, all the different culture and communities, and finding out who wants, who's struggling with jobs, making CVs and struggling to be navigated to the different job opportunities.
Okay.
So my role was to just go into the office, sign in, and then I'll take the car, go around to different places, find out where the communities live, try to track their data, and connect them to pathways to employment so they can have a proper support from our organization. Mm. And in around 2-3 months, I was doing my job well.
Oh.
So from the same organization, I got another opportunity to work as a settlement youth worker.
Okay.
So I got two different roles, two different caps in the same organization.
And how was it for you, like, working with the youth in Nelson?
It's better than the previous one, because I consider myself as a youth.
Yeah.
So organizing different activities for them was fun. I got a good amount of fundings from government.
Yeah.
So I was just nailing it. So I remember the quotation that I got from my manager was, "You are the best youth worker across New Zealand."
Oh.
So that was a big thing for me.
Yeah, that's a wonderful recognition to get from any employer. So how long were you down there in Nelson for?
14 months, more than 1 year. And then I moved on to Auckland. And the reason why I moved down here in Auckland was because when I was in Mangere, I sponsored my mother to be with me.
Yeah.
And my application got processed, and my mother got the visa.
Mm.
And she wanted to stay in Auckland because we got a big, big community here in Auckland, and we have more opportunity to be close to our religion, mosque, and community.
Oh, so,
yeah.
That sounds good. And when you decided to move to Auckland, had you secured a job here already that you liked?
No, the reason is it was a sudden decision.
Yeah.
I just made this decision in rush. And I didn't get much time to secure a job in Auckland. So I resigned my previous job with Red Cross, and I just came down in Auckland on benefit to look for opportunities here in Auckland as well. But I found it a bit, difficult to secure a job in Auckland.
Yeah.
As we have a big numbers, bigger amount of people here. At that time, it was a job crisis in Auckland as well.
Yeah, that's so right. Yeah. When you say you moved up here to be closer to your community, what was it that you were looking for that you probably didn't find in Nelson? What was the difference?
So we got a big mosque. It is the biggest purpose mosque in New Zealand.
Yeah.
It is in Manukau. And we don't have any mosque across New Zealand. So we have small centers, but not big mosque.
Okay.
And as our community is very connected with each other, we are like all the members are very connected. And we have heaps of different national events where most of our community member wanted to be part of. And I was one of them. So like, for example, we have a MK competition where youth compete each other with different competition like Quran speeches. Islamic competitions.
Okay.
And I was taking part in that as well. And also we have an annual convention where we discuss, we have all community travel at one place and spend around 3 days. Yeah.
Okay.
So these are the things I was missing back in Nelson. I thought we'll have more, if we be at that place, we'll be more connected to our mosque.
Oh, that sounds good. So what was it like looking for work in Auckland for you? And how long were you unemployed for?
So in the top of my mind, I thought it would be very easy as it was in Nelson to get a job.
Yeah.
I had a good luck when I was in Nelson to secure a job. But when I came in Auckland, I found it very competitive. And also it took me around 8 months to secure this job that I'm working in now.
Yeah.
I applied a couple of jobs. Most of them, they never called me for an interview because of lack of experience. Only 1 year with Red Cross. And it took me around four, five months. Nobody called me for an interview. And then people started calling me for an interview, but the reason and the talk is like same, that you don't have much qualification and no experience, much experience that we need. Mm. And also I struggled with the driving license also, because I came to New Zealand and I didn't have any license.
Yeah.
So I went through the process where I 6 month wait for my, I took my learner 6 month for restricted and 18 month for my full license.
Yes.
And all the recruitment companies want full license as well.
Yeah.
So these are the challenges that I faced personally in Auckland.
I think when I came to New Zealand and I started here in Auckland, that was one of my biggest challenges as well. Mm. Like, no one would hire me because I don't have a license. Plus, you've got so many places to travel. So
exactly.
I understand that one.
Yeah, I was so young when I left my country. I never sat on a driving seat before.
Yes.
So when I went to Nelson, there was an organization, the organization for driving lessons. So they helped me out. It was linked with Pathways to Employment. So they referred me there. So after getting my learner license, they helped me out to teach me driving. So it was two driving sessions a week. So driving instructor used to take me out for a ride every week. And it took me around 2-3 months to get to, you know, learn how to drive. And then I went for my driving test and I got failed a couple of times.
Yeah.
For my restricted license. But the best part was until I didn't get my restricted license, they were supporting me. Every time when I get failed, they support me more. They give me more lessons, and it was free of cost.
Wow.
Funded by New Zealand government. And they get me the full restricted license. And it did help me to go around in Nelson. And when I arrived to Auckland, I didn't have my full license that time as well.
Yes.
So, but I was driving on my restricted. But Kahuitu Kaha, the organization I'm working with them, the time I didn't have my full license, they allow me to go with other support workers, my other colleagues, to learn how to work. And also, they support me emotionally. So I failed a couple of times for my full license as well.
Yes.
And they never, you know, be like, why are you not achieving your goals and why are you not getting your license? Or if you don't get your license, we won't have you in the role.
Yeah.
So they always emotionally support me. It's okay. You'll get it one day. So you're safe in your employment. So yeah, emotionally also they supported me.
So where are you now, Aitisham? What does your current role entail?
I'm working with Kahuitu Kaha. It's a Maori Ngāti Whātua organization. It's a very big organization. They serve communities with social housing, transitional housing, refugee services, and tenancy services, heaps of different departments in there. So I applied job there last September. It took me a while to get into the interview, and I cleared the interview, and they were the only organization who offered me job with the restricted license, and they said that they will help me to get my full license as well. It's going well. I'm a community support worker. My role is to help refugees who come to the country, and we got clients referred by Immigration New Zealand. We support them for 2 years with their settlement. For example, I help them with their enrollment into the English classes, enrollment with their GPs, get them all the support that all the residents need, and connect them all the different organization and the support we have in New Zealand, and explain them all the support that the New Zealand government offers.
Yeah.
And we do organize two-day orientation for them, where we all the different department from New Zealand government department comes at one place and explain them about what are the services and supports we have in New Zealand for them.
Mm.
So yeah.
Are you enjoying this line of work?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it because I got a team of around 12 people.
Yes.
And it's like if I doesn't go to work, I don't feel like my day started.
So that's really good. That's an honorable thing to say about employment. So are you seeing any similar stories to yours with the cases you look after?
Yes, it's very difficult for them. The reason is because they all been into the third country for around 10, 15 years. And back in their own country, they have different expertise. For example, I got some clients who have been working in industrial mechanics and something, been running big machines and stuff. And they got their they've been certified in their own country. When they come to New Zealand, New Zealand system doesn't recognize their certifications. And now they are fed up and they don't want to spend around 4 or 5 years to qualified. So they are rather getting benefit instead of spending more years and get the employment, because most of them, I have seen that they are over 40 years and it's very hard for them to, you know, study in New Zealand because of the language barrier as well. So these are the feedback I have got, that people are not getting jobs in the field where they have expertise in, but the people who are already in employment through any organization, for example, Work and Income or Pathways to Employment, and if they have any issue with their employment, they have a go-to person.
Yes.
Whether it's a caseworker from Pathways to Employment or Work and Income.
Oh, wow. Is there any other hurdles that you have come across that your clients go through in securing work?
Yeah, that is the biggest hurdle is language.
Yeah.
People have experienced a long-term experience in their own field, but the language barrier and also the non-recognition of their education, their qualification, and they just get fed up and they find it very hard to start over again. And they always ask me, like, if it's possible if you can make our voice reach out to someone, that please, if you can make it easy for especially migrants and refugees, because it's very hard for them if they are over 40 years old and they will start their qualifications again in their field and then get a secured job. It's not practical at all.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult, isn't it?
Mm.
So in your case, you were given a job regardless of qualification, you know, down in Nelson, and then these guys are offering you a job too. And it's because of your skill and potential. Do you think other employers out there should consider that?
Yes, definitely. That's what I wanted to push on.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to, you know, raise my voice on, because what I have experienced when I was not getting calls for interview, my wish was only one, that if they don't want to give me a job, at least call me for an interview.
Yes.
Listen to me, at least listen to my story, listen to my potential. Maybe if somebody is more qualified, but maybe I can be more deserving because I spent around 8-9 years in a detention center.
Yes.
As a refugee. And if I'm coming out from those difficult hurdles, and I'm stable and I'm more, you know, enthusiastic. So why not? Because as compared to a person who's just, being qualified from an institute, and as a person who's just coming from a detention center of 8 years, it's a big difference. And I think if they compare both, like two people like that, then I will be more deserving.
Do you think employers would benefit from giving more opportunities like this?
Yes. In my field, it's been around 2 years I've been working with refugees.
Yes.
They are very talented. They have those skills that I don't think I have seen in other people. They are practical. They are they're into their practical life.
Yes.
And those are the things we need. For example, I have got a couple of clients who've been working as a doctor.
Yeah.
And New Zealand government haven't recognized their doctor degree. Some are plumbers, you know, electricians. Instead of letting them sit on a benefit and thinking about their future and, you know, ruining their, for example, their own career goals. Let's give them opportunity and get benefit from them.
Aye.
And once they will be into the employment, it will be big help for them as well, and use big benefits for us as a country.
Absolutely.
And instead of taking them as a burden, give them opportunity and take benefit from them.
Thank you. I agree with that actually. So, are there any changes that you think could be made to improve the current system and make things easier for refugees looking for decent employment in New Zealand?
Yes, it should be. As long as we are keep speaking about it, as long as we are spreading our voice around, because I find it lack of this for a long time. Because when I talked in my organization about refugees, nobody understand what refugees mean.
Yeah.
Nobody understand what they've been through. Some people think that refugee means they just leave their country and came to New Zealand. Nobody think about the period that they have spent as no aim. For example, no hope.
Yes.
Maybe they didn't know. For example, me, I spent 8 years, six, seven years, and I didn't know where I'm going to go, whether I'm going to go into the third country or no, whether I have a secure future or no. So, there is no proper education about refugees or migrants, about their past journeys. So, I think, we should be talking more about it to people, spreading, speaking more about it and spreading the real message of refugees' need. But I think, if you talk about New Zealand, it's far, far better than any other country. I have, I got a couple of friends, families who have been into different countries as well. But I find it more supportive. New Zealand is more supportive.
Okay, so what's next? What's what are your next steps in your career?
I'm looking forward to get into mental health and addiction level 4 with my own organization. They does offer that, and they subsidize that as well. And also, my clear goal is to work with Immigration New Zealand MBI. They are working in the camp with the refugees. I remember when I was in the camp, the first meeting with my case manager.
Yes.
I inspired by him and I asked him a question, how to be one of you?
Yeah.
And he laughed at me and is like, it's going to take you a while to be one of me. And I think couple of weeks back, I met him and I told him that I'm still doing the same role that you do. And he was like, you're almost there.
Oh, wow. So, that's such a good inspiration. You had someone to inspire you when you landed here.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
And also I got the opportunity to be interviewed by Immigration.
Yes.
And still they offer me, they have a free offer for me to come and apply for jobs there.
Yeah.
But I think I need more experience in this field.
Now, where would you like to see yourself one day?
I want to be a voice of refugees one day. I wanted to be a person who spread the real message that comes from the people who don't have enough courage to speak. I wanted to be a person who can talk on behalf of migrants and refugees. That's what I'm doing as well. But and also I wanted to be a person to help people, to help communities around. That's my end goal, because I feel much more satisfied doing this job. These roles, for example, Kahui to Kaha, Immigration, they are the example of that. And I'm looking forward to be part of Immigration New Zealand one day.
Atisha, I'm sitting across you here. I can feel your passion, and I really hope that what you're walking through, you achieve it, because definitely we migrants and refugees out there need a voice. And if you can be one of them, I think that will be great. So are there any other projects or programs you're currently involved with?
I'm personally working with my community as a senior co-secretary of my community member. For example, I'm working with my own community, helping them, bringing all together at one place, and solving their problems, discussing as a to take into the lead of our community as well. That's what I'm doing right now. But one more project, that's my personal, I'm getting married next year.
Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that is a very good project because you're with that project for life. So wish you the very best in that.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Where can people find you? Where, how can they connect with you if they have more questions to ask you perhaps, or if they want to, you know, have anything that might, that you might be able to help them with? How can people connect with you?
We got a big community purpose mosque in Manukau.
Yes.
Probably if you go there, everybody knows me. So it's not too difficult to be connected with me.
And I'm pretty sure people out there might be happy to say hello to you at the sham. That brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic podcast episode. At the sham, do you have any last farewell words for us?
No, thank you so much. I really acknowledge this opportunity that you have given to me to speak, to actually fulfill my dream. That's what I told you, that I wanted to be a voice of people.
Yes.
And also, for the people who is listening this podcast, is nothing is impossible. It's just a process. If you keep working on your aim, sometimes for some people it takes a while.
Yes.
So for some people it's instant, and some people it takes a while. So just look around. There are heaps of people who want to help you, who want to be your support. Be positive, look around for support, and people will be there for you.
Wow. Thank you very much for joining us, Etisham. It has been lovely sharing this space with you today.
Thank you so
much. We wish you a wonderful day ahead, a wonderful year ahead next year. And thank you to all our people listening in today. And with that, we are out. Nga mihi ka kite anō. That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
Streaming now on planetaudio.org.nz.
Top, just like a rocket taking off. You got me high, I'm flying in a dream. Got me feeling like a one, and after everything you've done, just let me take this little moment to say that you're so brush, and I don't tell you this enough, but you're the one who makes me happy. You're my future, no denying. From time to time I'll get to ride it, but I guess what I am trying to say is you're so special to me. All that I want and need, you're so that you know that you're so special. I know you know, I know that you know that you're so special. I know you know, I know that you know that you're so special. I know you know, I know.
know that you know you're so special to me.
Support through New Zealand On Air. Complete the application on planetaudio.org.nz/make radio.
Take your style. me fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Right round the clock until me reach climax. And when me reach, me will tell you to stop.
Oh,
we
yeah.
are aim for the sky and we not turn back. Roop, pop. You make me heart tick like a clock. Woman tease me and tickle up me weak spot.
Oh,
only
oh.
your touch can make me tons react.
Oh, yeah.
That I was searching for. Ooh. Holding confidence that will never, never fail. Hearing angel voices singing, love prevail. Ooh, darling. Tease me, tease me, tease me, tease me, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Till I lose control. Tease me with your love until I lose control. Take all my body.
Shimani, say me, dear, I'll show you can't tell. Shimani.